Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Those places that have never taken care of their people, they get money. Those who've stepped up and done it are going to get penalized. It is really a disgrace, and we've got to make sure that we fight.
Mayor Bloomberg, we appreciate your tact, but why refer to those places when talking about the effects of the health care bill? Why not just go ahead and call out Nebraska by name? Nebraska, Nebraska, Nebraska. As you've no doubt heard, the Cornhusker state is reaping the benefits of a deal struck with Senator Ben Nelson that will cover 100% of that state's new Medicaid expenses under the Senate health care bill. Not true for any other state. So yesterday, Governor Patterson and Mayor Bloomberg went on the offensive, claiming that the Senate bill will cost this state of New York over $1 billion in increased Medicaid expenses and the city some $540 million. As a result, the mayor says that
it would require us to close all of the 100 health clinics and the ambulatory care things that we provide overnight.
Ambulatory care things, also known as places people go when they're not so seriously ill, but close 100 health clinics. Well, it appears that the Senate version of the bill is much harsher on this state than the House's version. So the mayor is urging representatives to continue to fight for the state as the two bills get merged in the coming weeks. Joining us now is one of those representatives, Elliot Engel, Democratic congressman from the 17th District, which encompasses parts of the Bronx, Westchester, and Rockland counties. Congressman Engel, welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, great to be back. Good morning.
Do you agree with the rough numbers that the mayor and the governor cited increased New York Medicaid spending by $1 billion a year?
Well, I think they're saying that they think under the Senate bill that the net total that New York would actually lose funding would be $1 billion, whereas under the House bill, they calculated gaining $4 billion. So it's a $5 billion disparity. I don't know about the specific numbers, but I do know that the House bill is much better to New York than the Senate bill.
I guess the basic reason that Medicaid expenses go up is that one of the ways that people get covered under these health care reform bills is that you can have a higher income and still be covered by Medicaid than before. Now you could earn 133% of the poverty level, which is higher than in the past, and get your health insurance through Medicaid, correct?
Yes, exactly. But the, you know, the federal medical assistance program percentage, which is known as FMAP, that's where we get socks, because we have been good in providing people with health care. So this essentially, the way they've written it in the Senate, it kind of lifts up those states which haven't been doing it. And we contend that because we've been doing the right thing all along, we should get the money and not be penalized. It's ridiculous to help those states that weren't doing the right thing. Now, I don't begrudge Senator Nelson. God bless him. He cut a deal. But we have some leverage in the House as well, and I'm going to make sure. I'm the senior New Yorker on the Energy and Commerce Committee, which does health care. It's the health subcommittee, and I just want to make sure that the final bill isn't going to be 95% of the Senate's bill and 5% of the House bill. So we have a conference call with Nancy Pelosi this afternoon. I intend to make that very, very clear. And I have authored a letter to both Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, which is signed by 24 of my Democratic colleagues in New York, basically laying out the case as to why we think the House bill is so much better for New York and why we think there needs to be changes in the conference.
How outraged are you about this Ben Nelson deal? You know, this has been getting a lot more press in the national media than even the provisions of the bill with respect to how people would be covered. And the Republicans, of course, are using this very much against the Democrats. And they're saying, yeah, there's always wheeling and dealing in major legislation that gets through. But we've never seen anything like this, where one state is promised a 100% federal cover for its new Medicaid expenses and 49 states are not.
Well, I heard that Republican press conference. You know, I've never seen such whining in all my life. This is done every single time with every single bill. Do I like the Nebraska provisions? No. But, you know, Ben Nelson was doing what he's paid to do, and that's bringing home monies for his state.
But when you say you've seen this, time after time. Can you give me another example of something that's really analogous?
Well, you do remember when the Republicans controlled the House and we had the Medicare Part D vote, and it actually lost by two votes on the House floor. They kept the roll call open, I think it was for 3 or 3.5 hours, from 2 a.m. till 5 a.m, till they could get the votes. And they got two votes, and they promised those people, I don't remember the specifics, but promised them a lot of things in order to get their votes to change it around. So this thing is done over time. I mean, the fact that you need 60 votes in the Senate makes it virtually impossible to do anything. I mean, I'm for the public option. I was for Medicare 55 to 64, and I'm very disappointed that we didn't get it, but we need to move forward with health care reform, but I just don't think that our votes should automatically be there for any kind of a bill. And I do want to remind my Senate colleagues that the whole idea of going to a conference is to sort of incorporate both bills and put it together in a finished product. And besides funding for New York, you know, there are other things that I and others got in the House bill, which is not in the Senate bill. For instance, I have a bill called ETHA, which is Early Treatment for AIDS. Now, New York, unfortunately, still remains the epicenter of the AIDS virus in the country. And one of the things that people don't realize is under Medicaid will not treat people who test positive for HIV but do not have full-blown AIDS. You have to wait till you have full-blown AIDS in order to get any help, which is preposterous. And so my bill, which was a standalone bill, would change that, which would make it possible to treat people who are HIV positive before they get full-blown AIDS to prevent the onset of it. And I got that incorporated into the House version of our bill. Now, it's not in the Senate version, and we hope when we get together, programs like that were standalone programs that were incorporated into the bill that are good, I want to see those programs in the combined bill.
You would trade that as a kind of funding for New York, if that's included in exchange for signing off on the Ben Nelson deal?
No. I would also want to see the FMAP money's restored, and as I mentioned before, there's also DISH. You know, we have hospitals in New York that serve the disadvantaged. DISH payments pay for uncompensated care and makes up the cost of underpayments in the Medicaid program. We have a lot of people in New York that we take care of, and to cut those DISH payments is criminal. So I want to see restoring funding for New York, like we have in the House bill, for both FMAP and DISH and some of the programs like I talked about. And then I think that many of us can vote for the bill. And I hope that the Speaker will, you know, I've spoken with her about this before, and I hope she'll stick to her guns. And, you know, we're told that this conference committee is going to be very small. It's probably going to be just the Speaker and the Majority Leader and some of the leadership people and some of the committee chairs. That's okay. They want to keep it small and manageable. But I don't think we should be rushed to a deadline. You know, the president would like to see it before the State of the Union, which would be at the end of January, beginning of February. And I want to see the New York funds in it. And I agree with the governor and the mayor, and I think it's very important. And you know, I'm going to keep pushing on this. That's why I did this letter, and that's why my colleagues in New York agree with me.
Congressman Elliot Engel from the Bronx and the northern suburbs, as we talk about the potential impact of the Senate health reform bill on New York. Little perspective on some of the numbers we've been talking about on the Medicaid. Now, Medicaid is a huge expense for New York State. I think it's the single biggest expense in the New York State budget, if I'm not mistaken. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I think you're right.
But it's certainly one of the biggest. And when we hear that Nebraska would get 100% of its Medicaid funding covered, that's not 100% of everything the state would ever spend on Medicaid, is it? It's 100% of the additional burden that this bill would add. Do I understand that correctly?
I think that's correct. Of course, none of us have actually read the Senate bill yet. They haven't actually voted on it yet. But according to staff analysis, yes, that's what
it is. It's of the addition. And then it's not compared to zero either. Just in terms of how upset to be about this special privilege for Nebraska, it's compared to 100% funding of the extra Medicaid expenses for all the states for the first 3 years, and then after that, it's still between 80 and 95% federal funding of that difference, correct?
Yes, correct, correct.
But you see, puts it in a little different light.
Yes, but you see, look, the situation in the Senate, you know, when I was a kid, you didn't have to get 60 votes on all this stuff each and every time. It sort of evolved that way, where you've got to keep breaking cloture. And so while you technically need 51 to pass the bill in the House, in the Senate, I'm sorry, 51 of the 100 votes, you need 60 to break cloture. So in essence, you need 60. That means each senator, since there are only 60 Democrats and the Republicans aren't giving any votes, each senator can kind of hold the bill hostage. So I don't blame Harry Reid. I think he did what he had to do, and I think the Senate bill is a good way forward, and basically it's a good bill. But compared to the House bill, it's not as good, and it's certainly not as good for New York, and by the way, probably not as good for the surrounding states in the Northeast as well, Connecticut and New Jersey and states like that as well.
We played the clip of Mayor Bloomberg saying he would have to shut 100 clinics overnight. Do you understand that?
Well, I don't know. The mayor was perhaps being a little dramatic about it. But, you know, money's fungible. I mean, you know, earlier this year, I got the state of New York $11 billion in FMAP funds in the stimulus package. And Governor Patterson didn't use it all for health care. You know, he took it and he moved it around. He had to do that. He had no choice because he had to cover the budget deficit. And money's fungible. So I don't know if all those clinics would have to be shut. But it would put a tremendous burden on New York. And let's face it, now's the time we've got to make the noise. We've got to just say that if Ben Nelson, because of his vote, can get all the stuff in Nebraska, you know, we have 29 votes in the House from New York, 29 members of Congress, 27 Democrats, and 2 Republicans. You know, we can make some noise, too, and threaten and get it better.
On those community health clinics, just to be specific, the mayor points to the Senate bill cuts of $540 million in aid for patients at community health clinics. And that's why he says he would probably have to shut 100 of these overnight. But, you know, maybe those are the same people who would now be covered by expanded Medicaid.
Well, I think the mayor is giving the worst case scenario, but the bottom line is he's right. He's right in the fact that the Senate bill I think shortchanges New York, you know, a great deal, and it really needs to be changed. I think it's very, you know, very important that we do that. I think we will, by the way. I mean, I think we have to move forward with health care reform. I think health care reform is very important. We've expended a lot of political capital on it. I think the Democratic Party is dead in the water if we don't move forward. This has been our issue, our signature issue. But more than the politics, as the president has told us when he came and spoke before our Democratic caucus in the House, he said this is good policy as well as good politics. And I've used that quote a number of times because it is good politics for the Democratic Party and it's good policy for the country. And that's why we have to move forward and pass it. And I believe that we will. I think we'll come to a compromise whereby everybody doesn't get everything we want. And again, I wanted a public option. I'm very disappointed that we don't have one. But I think that this will move health care reform forward. We'll be able to cover 30 or 35 million Americans that don't have coverage now. And, you know, I always tell people, because some people say to me, well, I have coverage now, and I like my coverage, and who cares about those people that aren't insured? I tell people that the current system for health care in this country, if we do nothing, is not sustainable.
Go ahead.
From a financial point of view. And that's why people who say, why don't we just leave it alone, aren't being realistic, because that 47 or 48 million Americans that are uninsured, that's going to grow to 50, 60, and 80, and it'll be people like you and me if we lose jobs or change jobs or get rejected when we pay our premiums and we get sick and the health companies say, no, we're not going to cover you, and this whole pre-existing condition nonsense. So these bills are going to fix all of that, and I think we have to look at the bigger perspective. But in terms of fighting for our state, you know, these things are done all the time, and that's why when the Republicans complained that they weren't consulted, they weren't at the table. Well, if you don't give votes, you're not at the table. If you take the attitude, you know, I think the Republicans many, many months ago made a calculation that they were going to be the party of no on this. They were not going to provide any votes on it. They hoped that it crashed and burned, and we weren't able to do it. And then they would pick up the pieces. And I think that's their decision. So if you make a decision, you don't get to go to the table.
Before you go, a couple of things real quick from our webpage. Somebody writes, Bloomberg whining about those places that were irresponsible, getting money. That's rich. Bloomberg didn't complain when Wall Street was rewarded for its vile misconduct. And Ben Smith of Politico reported yesterday that Chuck Schumer was instrumental in getting Ben Nelson on board, including traveling to Nebraska to go hunting a few weeks ago. Reports are he bagged 3 pheasants. That's pheasants, not peasants. But Smith writes, the senator from Brooklyn woke up early the morning of November 8th, a day after he had watched Nebraska thump Oklahoma on the gridiron. He put on a blaze orange hunting vest and hat, refusing only the boots. And so is it up to Senator Schumer now? He's the number 3 ranking senator on the Democratic side. And by all accounts, he was Harry Reid's main consultant on this process. Did he not advocate enough, fight hard enough for his state?
Well, Chuck Schumer is a great senator, and he's always fighting hard. I've known Chuck for more than 30 years when we served together as state assembly members in Albany, and that was a long time ago. And my money's always on Chuck. I think Chuck and Harry, they got the best deal they could get. With the 60 votes, they needed to balance everything in order to get it, and I think it's a credit to both of them and Dick Durbin and others in the leadership that they were able to do that. Having done that now, that was the first phase. We're now in the second phase. The second phase is to ensure that the provisions in the House bill, which are more beneficial to New York, are the ones that get done. And as far as I'm concerned, I know that Chuck is going to fight just like I am to make sure New York gets the most money that we can get.
All right. Work to do in the conference committee. There's some of it. Listeners, New York saying, hey, wait a minute, this isn't fair to us. Congressman Elliot Engel from the Bronx and Westchester and Rockland, as well as other local elected officials. And Congressman Engel, thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up in a minute. Deadline for you high school seniors. Oh, and parents of high school seniors looking toward that January 1st college application deadline, including the question, can what you post on Facebook come back to haunt you? Stay with us.